So, Jack, we don't want to cut into any more of your time. We've already robbed you of 5 minutes, so we're going to add 5 minutes on the end. So come on up and share with us.
Sorry. It's my great privilege to be with you and with any group that loves the Lord Jesus and is interested in learning His Word. That is the thing that the Lord is interested in today. He's interested in His body. This world is not of concern, not a major concern with our Lord today. His major concern is completing His body. And the world has already been condemned. It's on the way down, and they don't get involved in anything trying to improve the world today, because it's not going to be. The time will probably come when there are just a few believers here and there. There probably will not be any groups anywhere when Christ comes back to take up His own, Colossians 3:4. Not the parousia, not the His coming again, which is written about so much in the world, but the calling of the body to be manifested with Him in glory. Glory is not on the earth. In the parousia, Christ comes down to the earth to reign. That's a different time. There's a lot of things in there we could spend a lot of time discussing and enjoying and so forth. And we should. And I hope that all over this place that there will be little groups of people talking about various things of that nature. Now, what we handed out to you is part of our important concerns for the messages, or the session, I should say, this morning. But just to get us started here, I came across this interesting story that has a point. And listen carefully, because there's some detail here that if you don't get, you'll miss it. It's called wrong email address. Everybody acquainted with email, I presume. I'm barely acquainted with it. Wrong email address. This one is priceless. A lesson to be learned from typing the wrong email address. A Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida. To thaw out during a particularly icy winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedules. So the husband left Minnesota and flew to Florida on Thursday, with his wife flying down the following day. The husband checked into the hotel. There was a computer in his room, so he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address, and without realizing his error, sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends. After reading the first message, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen which read, "To my loving wife, subject, I've arrived. Date, October 16th, 2008. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you are allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine has been. P.S. Sure is," and I'm deleting a word, "hot down here. Well, that is funny, but it's also indicative of the confusion of people that people have with the scriptures and religion and churchianity and all that beeswax. And I'm sorry, please be long-suffering toward me in regard to that. I'm just about teetering on the edge of total intolerance to the religious situation, but not to the people. God loves each individual and would have them be enlightened to the message of the mystery. Always be alert to share the message of the mystery with someone. I went to the eye doctor a couple weeks ago, and the nurse, of course, they're captive audiences, folks. There are millions of captive audiences that you have to be aware of. Oh, I said, well, I don't like to do that. That doesn't have anything to do with it. What has to do with it, your opportunity. Take the opportunity. Hand out the word. Give out the word. Well, anyway, she chatted along there. And, well, I was reading a book, and she said, what are you reading there? I said, well, I'm reading In Heavenly Places by C.H.W. Oh, what's that about? Well, that's about the book of Ephesians in the scriptures. Have you ever heard of that? No. I said, well, do you read the Bible any? Well, not much. And I said, well, it might be a good idea to get started on that. She had to listen. And so she was checking my eyes and doing this and now do this. And okay, and so we went on. Finally, at the end, in that process, I was able to tell her that this book was about the book of Ephesians, which is about the heavenlies. The heavenlies. That's where you could go if you want to. How about that? What kind of opportunity? I have promised one of these to a neighbor about 6 months ago. I don't know exactly. Handyman and pretty nice country boy, and I love the fella. But he's a church boy, and that's about it. But one day, he was up fixing my roof, and I was sitting down, looking up and hollering up, "How you doing, Charles?" And he said, "Oh, God, you know." Said, "Hey, did I ever tell you about The mystery? No, what's that? So anyway, we had a nice conversation there. I said, well, what, if you had your druthers, would you rather stay here on the earth and be in a kingdom, or would you rather go into the upon heavenlies? Oh, he said, I'd rather go upon heavenlies. I said, I thought you would. You look like a fella and smart enough to figure that out. I knew he was, and we had to laugh and so on. So anyway, as things going on, he asked a few questions and about what were you talking about and so on. I said, well, right now I'm working on a book concerning some of those things. And I said, he said, I'd be interested in getting that. I said, well, I don't know when I'll get finished, and I don't know what it'll cost or anything. He said, well, will you get me one? And it comes, I said, I'll do better than that. I says, I'll tell you what, we'll knock so much off of your roof price, which I forgot wasn't too much, to your roofing charge, and I'll give you one of these when it's published. So about a month ago, I happened to see him. He says, by the way, he says, how's that book coming along? I said, well, it looks promising. I said, I'll keep in touch. So I got one of the books I get will go to him as partial payment for the roof job. And he's a good church boy. Calls me sometimes and asks me stuff on the phone because he teaches Sunday school. So I'll try to get him into that and converse more about the mystery. That's what it's all about. Why need to talk about anything else? The weather isn't going to change, and it's going to go because the earth's going to go. But the heavenlies will be here. The upon heavenlies is going to be here. So why waste time on that? I want to read this little paragraph that I read in C.H. Welch's In Heavenly Places. By the way, if you don't have In Heavenly Places by C.H. Welch, get it. That's just my sincere advice to anybody who's serious in the Word. Now, I know money has a lot to do with it. Nobody's judging you on that, so... especially me, and I know none of these other gentlemen are. I think I can speak for them. But this book, C.H. Welch, someday we may have a university teaching the mystery. I doubt it because I don't think we're going to have the time. I think we're going to be gone. But let's presume that that would be a possibility. You know, if I were teaching a course on the mystery, I would use this In Heavenly Places as the textbook, because that's an absolute perfect textbook for the subject of the mystery. And they got it back here. I don't know, what does it cost? About $10 or what? If you could sell 20 of them, would you sell them for $10? I don't know. I'm not trying to do anything to Bob here, but... I want to support him all I can. Anyway, in that book, C.H.W. said this.
$18.
What if 50 people bought it?
It's 18.
Hard man. But a blessed man. Well, listen to this. So this is very good. And this exactly describes why this book was produced. Exactly. I'm sure from Bob's standpoint publishing it and definitely ours writing it. Here's this paragraph. The word ion is translated age in Ephesians 2:7. And 3:21. But it's translated course, world, and eternal in other references. There seems to be need for revision when one word in one epistle can be translated by such widely different terms as this world, which is admittedly transitory, and eternal, which endures forever. That's C.H. Welch in Heavenly Places. And that's exactly why we come out with this. Because you have the Greek, and then you have the English, and this is from the most up-to-date text that's available according to my knowledge. So that should help you if you're a student of the Word, and you don't have to pay any attention to my commentary there, and that's just my own opinion. But you put your own, you can write your own commentary. Do it, be great. Might even be good. Never know. Marjorie, God bless you. We prayed for you and never thought we'd have the privilege of seeing you today. God bless you. Now, I'd like to... You have a little guide there that Melda handed out. She volunteered to do that, by the way. Yeah. But I'm just going to try to go through here on Ephesians 3, 5, and 6 and study some things that I believe can be beneficial to all of us. It certainly was to me as I studied it. And I have a hard time getting out of Ephesians once I get into it. But Colossians is always on the horizon, and those are marvelous, wonderful books, and they're yours. They're written to you if you're his body. And if you're not his body, be in his body, and then they're yours. And everything should go apart from them, away from them, contributing to them, or vice versa. Now I'm going to read these verses here, Ephesians 3, 5, and 6. I'm just reading King James. So we may, as we go on, may interpolate a word or two in the Greek, which in other ages was not made known unto you, not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. Holy apostles and prophets. By the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the good message. How you like that? Good message. That's it. That's what it is anyway. Good message. Good news. Then you don't have to hate it anymore. Gospel. You're right. The world's made it a junk word. I share his prejudice toward that word. Good message is what it is. Now, look in verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We're everyday people here. When you read, you have to read the Scriptures. I don't think it's an accident that our nation and maybe the world are dumber than ever before. And excuse me if I may be stepping on toes, that's not the intention. But what I'm trying to say is there are many books out about the dumbing down of America. And you read statistics almost weekly of some study that shows how American students are not reading at a high level. And it's been years since the Reader's Digest got the idea of printing the Reader's Digest on the sixth grade reading level, because that's the level that most people can read, or at least at that time they could. Who knows, it might be lower now. I'm sure it would be. That would be also account for some of their decrease in subscriptions. I remember years ago when we had a little church group in Ohio, we had some people that didn't read very well. There's two kinds of people that we dealt with along that basis. We had the people who couldn't read very well, but they wanted to learn the Word. And then we had the people who couldn't read very well and really they didn't care about learning the Word. So the people who couldn't read very well, like Ethel, but wanted to learn the Word, you know what? They learned to read. Now they could read some, and by the time it was all over, the Word was their reading primer. They learned to read by reading the Word. And they were blessed testimonies from this poor old lady who'd been around the horn a couple times in her life. And now she was noted as the neighborhood Bible scholar. And when somebody, some of those lowlifes, wanted to know something, they'd come over and ask Ethel. And if she didn't know, she'd come ask me. And if I didn't know, I asked Melvin. No. But anyway, just take from that what you can. But they learned to read. And then we had another gentleman that I loved him dearly. He was a fine gentleman. He was a country boy. He was a redneck all the way from tip to toe. No question about it, but I loved him. He was a dear fellow. And I almost begged him to come to our services. But the reason he didn't come, he finally told me one day, because he can't read very much. I guess he could read a word or two. And he was afraid he'd be embarrassed. Because in our teaching, we had the people read out loud. Would you read verse so-and-so? George. Bill, would you read so-and-so? Ethel, would you read? And they did. They stood up and read the verse. And sometimes they halted and, you know, all that. That's okay. Don't worry. You're doing great. I didn't mind saying, no, it should be this way, pronounced, you know, or something like that. But they got to where they enjoyed it, and they got to where they learned the Word. That's the main thing. And that's what Paul's talking about here. These people will read. They will read. They have the will to read. They want to do it. Obviously, they were able or became able. But the key thought is willingness to read. Now, let's talk about verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. Key word, now. Right divider, people. you make sure, and they do, to pay attention to these key words. Before right division became a concept important to me, I did a lot of learning in the Scriptures, a lot of reading of the Scriptures, and I had been in seminary and had been through school, and it was a good school. And we had Bible classes, all kinds of Bible classes, and Greek and Hebrew, and everything. But I had to learn to read these small words like now. I mean, that's the word, now. Because we as, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I know there's a lot of people like me, will read over top of these words and miss them. Since. S-I-N-C-E. Now. Very important words in the Scriptures. Very important. You read and study Oscar and you'll see how important the RBC is always pointing out how we read over. And he says sometimes, read, folks, please read, study, learn. Because it's very frustrating to a teacher when people read over things and don't get the point. Now is the important word there. Very, very important. How new? Next question here. How new is this? Now we're talking now the mystery of Christ, but we'll possibly get into that. There are two mysteries we're involved with. But now we're talking in the mystery of Christ, which actually includes the mystery. So there shouldn't be any problem on that. But the question is, how new is it? Somebody tell me out there, some good student, how new is it? Right, that's the answer. Not in any other ages. Not in any other ages. Not in any other ages. Well, that's a kind of a funny thing. I mean, ages, what's that? I'm going to tell you this, folks. I've been trying to teach people this for years, and they don't want to get it or something. Maybe the teacher isn't any good. I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to try again. Don't judge me on my penmanship or whatever. An age, it's a time period, folks. There's no way around it. It's simple. It's not some amorphous thing. It's a time period. How do I know? God told me. Oh, one of those guys, huh? You know? Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's one of those guys that reads the Scripture. And it's plain. Now I want to tell you something else. The reason I know age is a time period, because God made it. He made time. I don't know about the clocks, but He made time. He created it. It's part of His creation. Now I'll show you where He did it. Genesis 1:14. That is the beginning of time as we know it on this earth. Now, right now, I'm not going to speculate as to what happened before this and that. But it's all right there in the Word. We'll get to that a little bit. Not in any other ages was the mystery revealed. No other time period. No prophet. We all know that John did not have the mystery. Blessed writer of the book of John, marvelous writer of the Apocalypse, but he did not have the mystery because it was only revealed to one person. And that you get it at Ephesians 3:9. Only revealed to one person. Paul. That was it. Now you say, well, what does this mean, the apostles and prophets? That's the mystery of Christ. That the apostles and prophets, and who are they? Is that Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Isaiah? No. Not them. I'll tell you who the other prophets are. Look at Ephesians 4. And we have a story here. Anybody tell me what this story is about? And start with Ephesians 4 and the first part of Ephesians 4. Anybody tell me what that's about? Just a couple words. No. That's okay. That's not wrong. But what this talks about here in maybe 5 or 10 verses here, the ascended Lord, when he ascended up on high. Now, what did he do when he ascended up on high? He gave gifts. He gave gifts. These are not gifts of the Spirit. This is the gifts of the ascended Lord. And he gave them to the church, who is his body. And you can read it there, I think, 14? Let me get this. And he gave some, 11, yeah. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some even evangelists. And the next one, I think, is one word which means shepherd teachers. You know, I have a lot of respect for a pastor. I understand Pete says he's not a pastor. Well, I don't know if he is or not, but I think he is. Maybe you don't want the word there, but I mean, that's fine. I respect that, but whatever. But I'll use him as an example of a pastor anyway, because I know him and you all know him. But then now I'm going to give an example that isn't very nice. I talked to a young fellow who wanted to be a pastor. I said, you know what that really is? That's a shepherd. Now, I probably told you this one before, but shepherds have a hard job. Difficult. Not very pleasing. And the story is told of a Swiss shepherd, very fairly prosperous. He's very assiduous in his job, but in Switzerland they have, you know, big mountains all. And this man had enough property, and he had the top of a mountain there, and they would go up. He took the sheep up there in the spring to graze on the top of the mountain, because after a little while the grass was gone, and you couldn't use that for grazing anymore till next year. Next spring. So he would go up there and stay with those sheep. He stayed with them. I mean, it was like he and the sheep were like all in the same family. And it's a hard job. Well, he was retiring, putting down the paper. He wanted someone to hire to go up there. Well, some people showed up, and there was a German fella and an Austrian fella and a hippie. And they all showed up to take this job as a shepherd to take the sheep up in the mountain. He explained the thing, how what they had to do and all of that. And he said, "Now, you might not be able to do this. It's awfully difficult." And they all said, "Oh, no, we can do it. We'll do it," and so on. So he said, "All right." He said, "Well, the only thing I know is you can all go up and see who lasts the longest, and I'll pay you for your time." He says, "You know," he said, "those sheep really, you can't realize how they stink. They stink. I never realized until I retired how bad they smell." Oh, they said, "We don't care." So they went up there, all three of them, the Austrian, the German, and the hippie. So after one day, the German came down. He said, "Oh, I couldn't stand it." He said, "It's too bad. I couldn't stand the smell." The second day, the Austrian came down. He said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I just can't do it. I thought I could, but I can't do it." The third day, the sheep came down. But the shepherd teacher idea, and I told this young fellow this, I said, "You know what? You got to get with those people." And I know this probably does. This congregation isn't anything like the average one. He said, "You got to be with those people, and you got to be around with them, and you got to put up with a lot of stuff, and you might not have to go to the jail." I remember one time going to the jail. We had the wife was we're just married a little while, and the wife was seemed to be a serious in the Lord, turned out to be very serious in the Lord, but the man was a drunkard, and she asked, "Would we go to the jail and talk to him?" And so we did. I mean, we talked to him. I liked the personable fellow, but he just couldn't stop drinking. And jails are bad places sometimes. I mean, some of them stink. And they have all kinds of people. I remember one guy, he murdered his sister because he thought she put a hex on him. This is down in the river country, Savannah area. So he killed his sister. Well, we led some people to the Lord in that jail. But I'm just telling you that the job of a shepherd teacher is a hard job, and you got to sacrifice yourself to the people. You have to be ready to help. Okay, Bella says to move on. But I was just indicating the shepherd teacher. And that's what God gave the body. Teachers, I think a teacher is a lot easier than being a shepherd myself. Stand up here in a nice suit, new tie my wife bought me since we were coming out here. Oh, that's great. Wow, you can look back on this and, wow, wasn't that a high point in our lives? Something like that. But anyway, a shepherd, I mean, that's whoever gets praised. You know. But God gave these people to the church, who is his body. The ascended Lord. How great can it be? The ascended Lord gave these people to His body. Wonderful. I love it. How much He loved us. So those are the holy apostles and prophets spoken of here. And they refer to those. There were other apostles before Paul, weren't there? And they didn't have the mystery. That wasn't their calling. But there were apostles to the church. And at that time, before the church who is His body, there were apostles to the church, which was part of the mystery of Christ. And the church who is His body is a part of the mystery of Christ. But it's a mystery within a mystery. The mystery, part of the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is not complete until the mystery where the church who is His body is revealed. I'll say that again. The mystery of Christ is not completed, although there were apostles and prophets in that, but it is not completed until the church who is His body is revealed to Paul, a la Ephesians 3:9. Now, there's a lot of study to be done there, a lot of meditation especially. But that's the beginning of understanding this mystery within a mystery. And this is the last. This is the last part of God's plan of the ages. He has a plan for His ages. I don't know what it's called. I know I've seen charts where people say, well, these are the ages. I don't know about that. Maybe some make some sense. But I don't know what those ages are in God's words, in God's sight. I don't know. I'm not saying no one knows. I'm saying I don't know. But I do know that God has a plan of the ages. What is that? Hebrews 11 talks about it. See if I can find that, I believe. Hebrews 11. Yeah, Hebrews 11:3. Now, if you read King James Version, you won't get this. Or any version, as far as I know. But this is what it really says. Through faith, we understand the ages. That word isn't world. It's ages. Ion. Ages. The ages were fit together by the word of God. God made them. He made the clock. He has the time in His hands. Age, 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 age. He knows the last age, and this is it. The age of the mystery, the church who is His body. That's the completion of His plan of the ages. You're in it. Ain't it great? You're in it. Just to look at joint heirs. Joint, joint, joint. Let's see. 3:6, I believe, right? that the Gentiles should be, this should read, joint heirs of the joint body or same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the good message. Partakers of the promise. What is the promise? Well, the promise is not the promises to the Jews. The covenants were not made with Gentiles. So that leaves out the body. All the covenants are past. Well, there's one new covenant that's still going to be. But as far as we're concerned, all the covenants are past. We're not involved in them whatsoever. I feel sorry for these people who have to be a covenant church or this or that. There's so many ideas of the word covenant too. And I'm not going to go into that. I can't. That's too big. But we're not involved. The body is not involved in the covenants. The promises. Promises are to God's people on earth, the Jews. The promises are to them. However, we have a promise of the Spirit. That is our promise, to be sealed. Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30 and so on. We have a promise of the Spirit. 1:17. That's your promise. Now this word joint, it's not quite right, but I honestly can't think of a better word, because the word simply translates with. It's the word sun, S-U-N, in the Greek. And there are eight words in the Greek, or eight prepositions, I'm sorry, in the Greek that can only be found in one case. And sun is one of them, and that's the dative case. In, at, with, to, for, the with, the out, to, with. In, at, to, with. So soon is with. But Welch and others have said joint. That's pretty close. That's probably the best way to express it in this context. Joint heirs and joint body partakers of the promise. But in order to do all that, what do you have to have? What do you have to have? What does that fellow outside have to have? What does he have to know? He has to hear the good message. Enlighten. Enlighten all. I'm glad somebody brought out the make is not right. That's a forcing. That is true. So enlighten all. It's your prerogative and your pleasure and your great opportunity. Well, whoever picked out this text, I know the Lord was with them and behind them, because a lot of these things were marvelous to study. And I've just, once again, put another scratch on the surface there that the other gentlemen, some of the other gentlemen put some before, and Mike and the rest of you that follow are going to put some more scratches on the surface there. May I just have a short word of prayer. God bless, we thank you for all these good people. And we enjoyed the privilege to stand in this pulpit once again And this place that these folks have consecrated to your glory and to the spreading of the truth of the mystery. We do pray, Lord, that you'll continue to bless the people of this place in this area. And we look forward to seeing them at any time on this earth, and especially in the upon heavenlies. In Christ's name, amen.